You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Emma Carr, the Deputy Director of Big Brother Watch in the United Kingdom. Emma, thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
Emma, before we get into this article that I saw on Christian Science Monitor's website, Report London No Safer for All Its CCTV Cameras, for the benefit of the listeners, can you let them know what is Big Brother Watch and what do you do for them?
Big Brother Watch is a civil liberties and privacy organization that was founded in 2009. And we have a kind of vested interest in kind of database security and CCTV and anything that impacts on our civil liberties and privacy and security.
Okay. And what do you do for Big Brother Watch or BBW?
What don't I do? Yeah, no, we do a lot of independent research on things such as our recent CCTV report. We also keep an eye on the various civil liberty infringements that take place within the UK and also abroad. So this could relate to smart meters being installed by your electricity and gas company, AMPR system, which is an automatic number plate registration, which a kind of a flash of a light can register your details if you've driven past one of these cameras, and all of that information is stored on a central database. And so our concern is who has access to this information and what it's being used for.
Okay. Now, as you said, Big Brother Watch was just recently founded in 2009.
Yes.
How is BBW funded and who are the top funders?
That information we don't release because we're a private organization, but it's mainly private donations.
Okay. What precipitated the study?
There was so little research into the impact and effectiveness of CCTV cameras. And so when we found out that there was £515 million being spent on CCTV over the last 4 years in the UK, and that equated to 50,000 CCTV cameras, which may I add is just owned by local authorities. That doesn't include central government and the police and Transport for London. So the figure would actually be far, far higher. But due to that lack of research, it's concerning that amount of money and the amount of time is being invested into something that really doesn't intrude on people's privacy. And so the whole point of our report was to open up the debate, bring in government officials, local authorities, the police and the civil liberties campaign groups, and actually broaden out the debate and say, what is the impact? Is it effective? If so, where is the data? The data that is in the research that is available just isn't in CCTV's favour.
Here, I found what I was looking for before. It said financial report for this research paper was provided by the Politics and Economic Research Trust. I guess they're a charity.
Yes.
So they precipitated the study then, right?
I wasn't with the organization when the report was initially begun. Not entirely sure who started what, but if you have a look on our website, we'd done a prior report to this, I think, back in 2010. And so this was just a kind of a carry-on from that report. And this report was very much looking at the price of privacy rather than the general kind of number of CCTV cameras. And so like I say, CCTV is of very big interest to Big Brother Watch, and it's something that we'll carry on looking at in the future and monitoring.
So you don't know who the organization Politics and Economics Research Trust are?
Personally, I haven't worked with them specifically, but if you wanted some more information about that, I'm sure we'd be able to provide it for you.
Just thought perhaps if we knew who was behind funding this, it's always good to know more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's interesting. I've done a lot of interviews and you're the first person to ask me that.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Just quite interesting.
You know us Americans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I see that in the report, it said that starting on November 3rd of last year, you sent out a bunch of FOIA, Freedom of Information requests, to,
yes,
I think, 434 local authorities across the United Kingdom. And
yes,
in the request, you asked for the cost of CCTV installation, operation, and maintenance, and the salary costs of,
yes,
CCTV operators broken down to fixed and mobile cameras. So that was basically how you got the info, and that other study,
yes,
like you said, from 2010. But one question before you get into it, or before we get into it. Of course, here in the United States, we have states. But
yes,
I guess over there, you guys have something called local authorities. Can you explain,
yeah,
to the listeners, what's the difference between local authorities and states?
Well, our equivalent of states, I guess, would be regions, kind of the Northeast England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, Southeast England. So that's the difference between state and region. Local authority is a lot more to do with, I guess, a local council. They're called different things in England depending on what kind of authority they are.
Right.
So that's more to do with kind of cities.
Right, or counties, I guess, right?
Maybe. Yes. Yeah.
So let's look at the study now.
Okay.
Can we substitute CCTV if we wanted to with surveillance?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't see there being a huge difference. I guess with CCTV, there's an ambiguity about what that camera is there for. That's what a lot of the local authorities and the councils have come back to us with. Those CCTV cameras could be multi-purpose, or they could be there for single purpose.
Thank you. Your report is called The Price of Privacy, How Local Authorities Spent 515 million British pounds, which I guess you have to multiply that by about 1.5 for U.S. equivalent, on CCTV in 4 years. So the local authorities spent close to $1 billion on...
Over 4 years.
Close to $1 billion on cameras. And what you found out was that there really is no correlation between the cameras and better crime statistics or decreased crime.
No, exactly. And like I say, there's so little research there to suggest otherwise. And the research that is there just really isn't in CCTV's favour, as is quoted in the Christian Science Monitor report. And there's a 2008 statistic that was given out by the Metropolitan Police, which is the police force in London. And they showed that only one crime is solved for every 1,000 cameras in the capital.
Right, I read that. Mm-hmm. It's not too good.
Now, no, exactly.
Yeah. You say in the report that there are currently at least 51,600 CCTV cameras controlled by 428 local authorities in Britain.
Exactly. Like I say, that's just within those local authorities. That's not incorporating cameras that are centrally owned by the government and that are used by the police, and the ANPR cameras that I mentioned earlier, and Transport for London, which is, you know, the metro and transport system in central London. They have an awful lot of cameras as well. And so that's really a conservative estimate in terms of how many cameras there are. And as you mentioned, that's 428 local authorities, but we actually FOI'd 434. And so some of those councils either didn't get back to us or didn't provide us with that information. So it really is a conservative estimate as to how many CCTV cameras are actually in the UK.
Right. And most of these, from reading your 36-page report and other information, most of these are located indoors, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they can be. Some of them are fixed and some of them are mobile. And so it's very hard to establish just where those cameras are. And that's one of the reasons that Big Brother Watches released some policy suggestions for government and local authority. One of those suggestions is that the council should have to release this data. We didn't have to send a Freedom of Information request as an organisation to the council to get this information. It should be easily and freely accessible to their local residents. And that information should tell them where these CCTV cameras are located and what they're being used for, and just how effective they actually are.
So right now there is no regulation on CCTVs?
No, there doesn't seem to be. There is some, but again, this is why we've written this report. There seems to be very little acceptance that we seem to be heading into a situation where CCTV cameras are being used with the kind of misapprehension that they do kind of catch criminals. And it's not our place to say that they don't, but when there is such a lack of research that it is out there and available, there definitely needs to be some dialogue on this. And I think from looking at our research, you'll see that the £515 million that was spent would get you 4,000 police constables, or nearly 6,000 PCSOs, which are police officers that are one step under police constables. They don't have quite the same powers, but they're still a presence on the street. And for us, there seems to be a lot more research and evidence that police on the street actually brings a reduction in crime, while bringing in CCTV into local areas, especially cities, it just seems to not bring the crime rate down, but just push the crime to another area where the CCTV isn't present.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you're talking about the police community support officers. Are those the guys with the little bobby sticks?
Yeah, exactly.
So when you compare the costs of, for example, these little cameras to actual human beings on the beat, the human beings are going to obviously have to continue to be paid. Do these cameras have much maintenance costs?
Well, again, that's purely dependent upon the local authority, and some local authorities were more willing to provide us with that data. But not only have you got the maintenance costs, you've also got the staffing costs. And if you want these cameras to be monitored 24/7, that cost builds up quite quickly. But again, this is the misapprehension with a lot of people in the UK with CCTV cameras. They think that these cameras make them a lot safer on the streets because you have always got somebody sitting there watching you. And if they see a crime taking place and a crime against you taking place, that somebody in a control centre can alert the police the police can come and help you, but that just simply isn't the case. A lot of the time, they're not monitored. If they can go back and look at the images, if the crime has taken place, and try and use it for evidence. But again, a lot of the time, the images just aren't good enough quality to be used in a court.
Right. And it seems like, at least from what I learned, their most effective use so far has been to protect cars in parking lots, which you call car parks.
Yeah, absolutely. The research that is there says CCTV does seem to work when it comes to parking offences. But in relation to other things, we need to kind of reevaluate what CCTV's impact actually has been on crimes.
Have there been polls done about how citizens feel about all of these cameras surrounding them?
I don't think there has been. If there has been, then I'm not directly aware of them. But I mean, that would be a very interesting poll to see. And it would also be very interesting to see if people were aware of how many CCTV cameras were in their local area and what they were being used for.
Right. I read an article in The Guardian that talked about all these statistics that there are however many cameras pointed at your average citizen there, and that an average person goes by 300 cameras a day. Is that true?
Yeah.
Or is that...
That's the average for central London, which I think would probably be slightly different to the rest of the UK, but that's still quite an alarming number. But one of the stats that was included in our report was that Britain's currently home to 20% of the world's CCTV cameras, having only 1% of the world's population. When people see that statistic, kind of dawns on them just how much surveillance actually takes place in the UK. I haven't mentioned yet the amount of private CCTV cameras that are owned by private companies and private individuals.
Right.
It would be simply impossible to try and estimate just how many of those cameras in existence in the UK.
What do you think is motivating these local authorities to do this?
To bring the CCTV cameras?
Yeah, versus hiring people.
Well, in some ways, they could be seen as being the more cost-effective way of tackling crime, and I think there are some local residents who are very vocal, and we have had a very kind of antisocial behaviour problem in the UK probably over the last 10 years, and I think some residents do feel a lot safer having a CCTV camera in certain areas. But from what we've seen and what we've been hearing from a lot of residents is that presence of a CCTV camera simply moves that antisocial behaviour away from that area to another area that isn't being surveyed. And so it doesn't solve the problem, it just moves the problem. But I'm not sure whether you followed very much. The riots took place in Britain at the end of last summer. I think what you found there is very much a kind of a generational desensitisation to CCTV cameras. Young people realise that those CCTV cameras are going to be present in those local areas and shopping centres, and so they turned up with intent to cause damage, and they just simply covered their faces, knowing full well that if they couldn't be identified, then those images would be no use to the police. And so, again, it doesn't solve the problem, it just moves the problem, and it moves criminals to kind of take actions that they probably wouldn't have done so before.
Absolutely. The cameras are there, but if they know how to outsmart them, then
exactly.
What's more effective, a camera or an actual cop on the beat?
Exactly.
You mentioned antisocial behavior.
Sure.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? What exactly do you mean?
That can cover anything. Some people would deem antisocial behaviour as, you know, just a group of young people hanging around on the street, quite a large group, and just being slightly intimidating for kind of people walking by. That could be kind of drunk and disorderly behaviour. It could be anything that could constitute criminal damage. It could be noise disruption. It's a very, very broad term that's related to quite a lot of various offences that range in seriousness.
Okay. I've been reading a lot about what we're talking about, London's problem with the, what you call the antisocial behavior, and I did read that term in the report and elsewhere. Have you noticed a marked increase in that antisocial behavior there?
I think over the last 10 years, I think very few people would fail to agree that there has definitely been an increase in that. Various reports and research would attribute that to various reasons, but I think there has definitely been an increase.
Right. And why do you think it is that there's been such a marked increase in that antisocial behavior?
I think it's for so many reasons. I think the London riots, especially last year, a lot of people discussed why that occurred, and I think for a lot of people it's to do with the job market and the youth unemployment rate that year. I think a lot of the people who took part in the rioting have come back and said, we're having our services cut and we don't have a job, and so the kids are kind of disenfranchised with the world that they're living in at the moment.
Right, disaffected youth. Is it primarily immigrant?
I think it was very broad in terms of the people that took place.
Okay, so it wasn't focused on one or two groups?
No, I don't think so. I could be wrong, but from what I've seen, no.
It was broad-based. Okay.
Yeah.
But really, this is primarily the reason for all of these cameras, then.
Yeah, somewhat. I think it's something that's kind of crept in over the kind of last 10, 20 years. People have seen the impact that it's made on parking in some ways, moving along some of this antisocial behaviour from central areas and shopping areas. But I think every council experience appealing to a different crime region, a different demographic. And it's been interesting looking at the actual figures of, you know, the highest spenders and the highest number of cameras and seeing if there is any correlation between the demographic and that local area. I mean, for instance, Birmingham, which is at the highest total expenditure on CCTV cameras, and they came to nearly £14 million over the 4 years. And they actually had a project recently called, I believe it's called Project Champion. The cameras were bought in by central government and they were pretty much there as an anti-terror project, and they were based very much in kind of a Muslim area, and this didn't go down very well with local residents, and they actually pulled the project and uninstalled the cameras before they'd even gone live, because people kind of cottoned on that this was taking place and they didn't feel that targeting an ethnic group, so to speak, so directly was an appropriate way of kind of generating an anti-terror project.
Why not? We do it here in America.
Well, indeed.
There's news out today that the White House is funding the New York Police Department's surveillance of Muslims. And you have a Protection of Freedoms bill that contains the CCTV Code of Practice. You want to bring this to the lawmakers there?
That's actually going through at the moment. There's some amendments going through in relation to CCTV and having a national CCTV Code of Practice. And that's going through Parliament at the moment, and they're looking at the amendments and looking to see whether we could bring those policies in.
Mm-hmm.
I think the danger that we have at the moment is that the technology is getting so much more sophisticated and expensive that now is the time to kind of assess whether it's effective and whether we need it. I mentioned Birmingham again, which is known as the UK's second city. They've spent £14 million on a lot of very new technology, and that top technology includes cameras that have loudspeaker phones attached to the camera, and so they can have somebody sitting in the control room, and if they see a crime taking place, they can literally shout at the person that's doing this, inform them that their image has been captured and tell them to stop. It's very kind of, I guess, for a lot of people, very Orwellian. That definitely comes at a price in terms of people's privacy and the price kind of to the taxpayer as well. And so that kind of technology needs to be questioned and it needs to be looked at in terms of who is monitoring that technology. Why are they monitoring it? For what purposes? And what do they do with that information once it's been gathered?
Does Big Brother Watch accept donations?
Yes, we do.
And they could do that right on the website?
Yes.
Okay. And the website is bigbrotherwatch.org.uk. Emma Carr, the Deputy Director of Big Brother Watch, I want to thank you so much for the time you took out today explaining all this to the listeners, and looking forward to see how all this unfolds with the legislation and your policy recommendations. Looking forward to speaking to you again.
Great, thank you.